Today's gospel reading comes from John in the 6th chapter. Jesus says, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever." The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, my friends, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So whenever I read this passage from John, I start to feel a little squeamish. The repeated use of the word flesh sounds a little forensic, doesn't it? Like an episode of CSI. It's kind of a visceral word that's not really found in everyday conversation. But you see, in John's gospel, this is not the first time that John has used this word. He begins his gospel this way. It starts with, you probably have heard this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then several verses later we hear, "And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth." John takes language and metaphor to the extreme to tell us something important, something critical. Our theology calls it incarnation. That is, God coming to be one of us. God taking up residency in humanity. God is putting on the human experience. God becomes Emmanuel for us in every sense of the word, one with us. For John, this is the incredible, mysterious nature of God. Jesus is God embodied and what it means to be human. This is a very countercultural idea compared to the ancient Greco-Roman religious notions of the time, which maintained that gods were far removed from humanity, were far removed. Gods interacting with, let alone becoming human, is something of scandal. But for John's audience, God closes the distance in Jesus. I find this comforting, because what good is a God who is removed from the human experience? I don't know about you, but I need a God who knows what it's like when a tear rolls down your cheek. I need a God who also knows what it feels like to laugh so hard that your stomach hurts. I need a God who knows the sharp pain of loss because they loved so deeply. I need a God who experiences heavy eyelids when they're exhausted and a rumbling stomach when they're hungry. I need a God who understands. The deep, deep love of Jesus is revealed by him stepping into our world and not as one with privilege, but openly subject to the brokenness of the world and all of its injustices. Like the Jewish crowd gathered around Jesus in this passage, we might find ourselves asking the same question, being a little confused at Jesus' abstract words about consuming his flesh and blood. But you see, it only becomes clear for us and for the disciples a little while later, when Jesus institutes this meal right before he's crucified. He institutes this meal, and in there he says, "This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you." Just as Jesus is God incarnate, so this bread and wine that we share together is infused with Jesus' presence. Luther will say that Jesus is truly present in, with, and under these ordinary everyday elements. Just as fire permeates a glowing ember, infused with Jesus' presence. So flesh and blood is a Hebrew idiom, a particular expression, which refers to the whole person in Hebrew. The heart, the mind, the spirit, feelings, hopes, and dreams, everything. David Loos, a Lutheran theologian, writes this: "In Jesus, you see, the whole of God meets us to love, redeem, and sustain the whole of who we are. The good, the bad, and the ugly. God in Jesus comes to give God's whole self for our whole self." A full understanding of the Lord's meal is really beyond our comprehension this side of eternity. It is a joyful mystery, and it is a joyful gift that we receive from Jesus. And there is a vast spectrum across the Christian traditions about our understanding of Holy Communion. But here is what I find meaningful and important about this meal. Holy Communion is Jesus' meal, and in this meal, it comes with a memory, a promise, and a hope. When we celebrate this meal, we remember that night 2,000 years ago, where Jesus sat with his friends and his companions in the upper room. We remember his love. We remember his death, and we remember his resurrection. When I was in seminary, I found myself, after eating the bread and wine during worship, sitting in the chairs in the chapel as people were singing, closing my eyes and imagining myself seated at that table with Jesus and the disciples. I imagined the bread and the wine being Jesus' presence, which now abides in me, Jesus extending his arms, saying, "This is for you." And Jesus dwelling and living in me now in a mystical way that's hard to describe. And there are times when I do this now, this practice, I'm overwhelmed by grace, overcome by the love of Jesus who invites me to this table to fill my cup. It's more than just remembering. It's the promise of Jesus who meets us here and now in this meal, still celebrated centuries later. When we partake, Jesus' promise to abide in us becomes a reality. It's a special communion with Jesus by the power of the Spirit here, now, in this place, together. And finally, it's a feast of hope. It's a foretaste of the feast to come, that heavenly banquet that we will one day sit at with the saints from every time and place. When God's redeeming work in the world is complete, when God's justice and peace reign, and all God's people experience the love of God. So, my friends, Christ Jesus gives his whole self to us here. Our response is to come to the table hungry, to come with empty hands ready to receive, to bring our whole selves to this meal, the good, the bad, and the ugly, to taste and to savor the goodness of God's love, whose name is Jesus. So pray with me. Lord Jesus, you infuse ordinary things with your profound presence. In this communion meal, you offer us forgiveness and strength for the journey. Fill us up. Let your grace overflow in us. Let your love be a wellspring in the depths of our being. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of the day is printed in your bulletin. We're going to sing verses 1, 3, 4, and 5. So we're skipping verse 2. Let's sing together, and I invite you to rise in body and spirit as you're able.